Today is Tuesday, July 3rd, and I hereby welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Esports Talk. I am DT and I am the host of the show. Thank you very much for joining me. Today, we will recap the last week of League of Legends action across EU, NA and Korea, talk about the topic of the hour in the League of Legends community, and, as is tradition, talk about roster moves in CSGO. Kick off the episode by talking about week three, and like I already said in the intro, EU, NA and LCK, and we'll start with LCK because in the last week alone we have SKT beating KT beating Griffin beating Kingzone, and Kingzone beating SKT all in the same week. So there's a nice little chain going around there. But we'll go through these games chronologically, and we kicked off on Tuesday with SKT beating KT in the Telecom Wars, Korean Telecom Wars, and they beat them 2-1. And I actually remember watching Game 1 live last week during a lecture in the university. It was like a few hours after the last episode has been published, and I was extremely disappointed by the performance of SKT in the first game, like I said. Because they were lacking coordination, nothing worked really for them, and they didn't really get one foot in front of the other. But well, then I turned it off, and now I've obviously watched it in the VOD. I've obviously watched the VOD, and well, in game two we had an insane Yasuo performance by Faker, and when you see a game like that, you really ask yourself why SK Telecom doesn't really always just play on Faker and put him into the best position possible to make him carry the team, because oftentimes, or like, well, in the past, they have obviously tried very different things, put Faker on Taric and stuff like that. And so, really, like from a fan perspective, maybe you sit there, you watch these games, and then you see him play Taric, or even I don't know, something like this, and then you think, how did anyone come up with that idea and think that this is a good idea? But well, this is what the SKT coaching staff will have to figure out in the future, and will definitely figure out in the future. Wrapping up the series, we had an extremely clean game three from all the players actually in game three, and so SK Telecom beat, like I said, KT Rollstar with 2-1 in this first game of this of the week, so to speak. Directly after that game, we had Griffin and Kingzone Dragon X facing off against each other. And maybe you remember from last week's episode that I said that, well, Griffin, of course, they were undefeated throughout the whole year. And, well, with Kingzone, they have the first real test waiting for them in the LCK. Because, well, before that, they didn't really face that major opponents, well, except SKT maybe, but... Well, they had their own struggles to deal with. And now when you looked at the games, and there were two insanely one-sided games when thinking about who was facing who there, because when you took away the name tags, you maybe would have thought that the team that dominated was the Spring Split champion, Kingzone Dragon X, who went to MSI and became second in MSI. And the team that was dominated was the rookie team from Challenger Korea from last split, and who really came out of nowhere, and maybe they kind of swept roles there, because it was obviously it was Griffin who won 2-0, and they showed no fear, no respect, even some sort of disrespect in some parts of the game, and they were full of confidence, and they showed that they belong there. And in both games, actually, they pretty much did whatever they wanted to. And as well, of course, this was helped by Peanut picking Nidalee, or like Kingzone Dragon X picking Nidalee for Peanut, and that pretty much backfired. Everyone that looked at the game for 10 minutes could see that and could think that. But nevertheless, it was Griffin who displayed insane mechanical control throughout the whole game. They knew exactly what their champions were supposed to do and what they were capable of doing, and how they had to control them in order to get the most out of them. And like I said, it was insane performance by them. They did really, really well, and they showed that they're not to be overlooked when talking about the LCK and maybe even prospects of going to Worlds when talking about after the season. But okay, this may be a bit early, but like I said, they did really, really well, and so it was even more surprising actually that afterwards. It was KT Rolster who just have been okay last week. They or like 2 weeks ago now, or 1.5 weeks ago, they played Gen.G and they outclassed them, they dominated them. Then they lost to SKT on Tuesday, and then they faced off against Griffin. And well, they beat Griffin 2-0. It was a clean 2-0, more or less clean 2-0. They kind of stomped them in game one actually. And game two was a bit more competitive, but well, like I said, KT beat Griffin. They took away the undefeated streak. Griffin's now at 5-1, if I remember correctly. Maybe 6-1. I don't know, but I think it's 5-1 throughout the whole split. And well, this loss came from KT, and I don't know. It must be quite frustrating to see or to watch the games from KT by KT fans now. Maybe it must be frustrating to see them perform like that when they are capable of what they are definitely capable of doing. Griffin and like I said, Genji from 1.5 weeks ago, and well, then see them lose to SKT in their dominating fashion against like 11-2 Yuzuru by Faker, which they shouldn't really have happened to them because they are such a good team. They have such a high ceiling. They can be so crazy. They can be so well playing. They can be playing so well. It's so insane to see them like that. But then, like I said, crashing and burning in other games, like in the SKT series. But well, talking about Griffin now, especially maybe in the series, especially in game two, they did really show what they were showing against Kingzone because like I said before, like 2 minutes ago, versus Kingzone, they knew exactly what they were doing. They had a perfect strategy and they knew how to execute it. And well, like I said, in game two against KT, they engaged and or started a fight way too often without Sword on Dr. Mundo present, which well immediately put them into a disadvantageous position. And they weren't really able to come back from that when already starting a fight like 4v5 or 4v4 actually that there wasn't they didn't really work out for them as well. But well, maybe they showed nerves, maybe KT made them show nerves. It's a bit tough to say looking at it from our outside perspective, but like I said, KT beat the undefeated streak, ended the undefeated streak of Griffin, and well, and the last match that I want to talk about in Korea was Kingzone beating SKT 2-0. And well, although it was a clean 2-0, it didn't look as bad as it could have been. Or it wasn't as bad as it could have been. In contrast, I think both games they talking about SKT now here, they looked like they could hang for a decent amount of time, and they didn't really let Kingzone dominate them throughout the whole series. Like in the end, it's a 0-2 for SKT nonetheless, but they really showed that they aren't that far away, maybe if that makes sense, from Kingzone and maybe being able to hang with them. And this maybe shows a lot of prospect and going for the next weeks after Rift Rivals, and then also talking about or looking at the Gauntlet. And well, yeah. One other note that I wrote down is that Kingzone really differentiated the game moment, or was able to win the game by constantly getting Baron. And in both games, as soon as they got Baron, they were able to scale the game to victory, and they really were able to make sure that they would come out on top of the series. And now we're moving on to the ULCS, and well, the ULCS right now is sort of like a two-team show with G2 Esports and Misfits, who are both now at 6-0 after week 3, And they are the only two undefeated teams in the summer split across all major regions, which are, of course, EU, NA, China, and Korea. And we're talking about G2 now in specific. They played Funnel again, both games that they played on stage this weekend, with Perks being on an AD carry, which seems to be their go-to strategy from the games they have played on stage until now. And well, again, this weekend, they have destroyed both Fnatic and Unicorns of Love with it. And I think that the roster G2 Esports possesses, or the team that they are, they are really the perfect team for a strat like this, because they have a more or less supportive bot carry with Xianan anyway. So he has played a lot of Sivir throughout his career. He has also, of course, played a fair bit of other champions, but I distinctly remember him playing Sivir a lot. And of course, Jankos, who has shown to be comfortable with playing a more supportive role as well, although he's of course the first Blood King. He's been touted that as well, but like I said, he's been comfortable on it, which some players of course haven't been or haven't shown to be. So this is something that of course plays into their favor. And then they have a guy like Perks who you can give all the resources to, and he will definitely know how to deal with them and know how to make use of them. So like I said, G2 is this meta is really playing into their hands, in my opinion. And now, talking about Misfits, well, they have been strong until now. Of course, they wouldn't be 6-0 without being strong. But well, they have played versus Fnatic in week one with a Reckless that didn't really, or it's a whole Fnatic team that didn't really know how to deal with the meta. And other than that, they have played the current five bottom teams of the LCS. So, well, this weekend they have beaten Schalke 04, or Schalke 04, I don't know, and HUK. And well, both these teams went 0-2 this weekend. And like I said, they have beaten the current five bottom teams of the LCS. And afterwards, Rift Rivals, G2 and Misfits will go head to head in the first game, and on the first day, not on the in the first game, but on the first day. And they will decide which team will be the last one to stay undefeated. So we will see how we can evaluate Misfits' performances, maybe after seeing them versus G2, and maybe if they are able to dominate them as well as they did the others. So of course, one has to give them credit, even more credit, let's say it like that. And well, yeah, that will be interesting to see in 2 weeks' time, I believe. And lastly, about the ULCS, we have Vitality, who went 2-0 in week one and 0-2 in week two. And they have now come back with another 2-0 week by beating Unicorns of Love and Schalke 04. And this just goes to show how distinct the different tiers of skill in the ULCS are at the moment. We have two or three tiers. Let's maybe say three. With, of course, G2 and Misfits being at the top, then maybe a team like Fnatic, maybe a team like Vitality, even a team like Fidelity, I don't know. And then maybe the rest of sort of like kind of distinctly far away from these teams, which, of course, is very different from the NA LCS. And before I'm talking about the topic that, well, is on everybody's mind right now concerning the NALCS, we of course had a regular weekend of action. So we'll start with that, and maybe talk about Cloud9 first, because with all the parity in the split in the league since last split, we now have a distinct last place with Cloud9, who are at 1-5 right now after going 0-2 this weekend. Versus, okay, Echo Fox and Team Solomid, so TSM. And well, to be quite honest, even for me, who's not really a fan of either organization or of any organization, to be fair, but well, it's even for me, like I said, it's quite frustrating to watch them lose these leads over and over again. So maybe to backpedal a bit, they move Jensen back to mid lane, put Golden Glue at the bot lane carry position, and slotted Smoothie back into the lineup next to him. So still no Sneaky, but the other two returned, other two guys returned. Well, maybe funnily enough, another note that I've written down here is that the Academy team went even 3-0 this weekend, and they are now at the top of the table in the Academy League. But now talking about NALCS again, like I mentioned before, they changed the roster back to a roster that maybe goes with what the fans can get behind a bit more. Of course, many people are fans of Sneaky, but people are okay with that. I think most of the stuff that I've read say that, or many of the people that I've read comments from say that Golden Blue deserved this and by playing well and staying in the lineup. But well, it was still the clown of last week or of the last week. So they were getting decent gold leads throughout the game, but they completely failed or they fell apart in the late game. And this is a constant thing that, of course, Rupert talked about last week, that they were going to fix that and they were going to make changes, and they did make changes, but they didn't really change that. So that they weren't really able to tackle that and to get in front of that and maybe say, okay, this is what we have to do to get rid of this problem. And well, it's really a mystery for them to maybe get back on this, because they're not really playing bad in these situations. It's not like they are getting outclassed from start to finish. And this is the most frustrating part. This is where a team that of the stature that Cloud9 has, with the fans that they have, and they have ruffled some feathers with them as well, of course, with making these roster changes. But now they have to be patient, and they have to put trust into the way that they deal with things, and maybe even find out that they aren't dealing with them the right way. But this is like I've often said in this podcast or in the course of the last weekends or of the last weeks, that I have trust in the organization and in the leadership, and I think that they will be able to get out of that if they are being patient and do the same thing, that or stay constant in their approach, because it can't be that bad because of the success that they already had. So I think we have to give them time, and we have to see how they deal with that stuff. But now moving on to the team that played C9 in the first game of the weekend, and that was TSM. And they had their own news headlines dedicated to them last week, because Lost Boy replaced Song as their on-stage coach in quotation marks, while Song remains to be there, again in quotation marks, strategic coach, per the TSM announcement on Thursday. And while some argued that this might be a straight demotion for the head coach Song, from the latest TSM Legends episode that came out, I don't want to lie, I think it was on Saturday, it really sounds more like this is just about semantics to get Lost Boy to do the pick and ban phase with the team, because of, well, of his, let's be quite frank about it, because of his superior understanding of the nuances of the English language. But we must not forget that the players and their coach only have a limited time to get on stage, to go through everything, to go through the picks and bans, to react to changes in preparation. Maybe the opposing team banned something else than what was expected of them to ban, or they made the first pick that was quite out of the blue. And then these players and their coach only have a limited amount of time to really get through the picks and bans and maybe talk about what this might imply or what this can imply, or how we as a team, now saying we in quotation marks again, the team as the team itself has the opportunity to deal with that. And if you're not really versed in the English language, then it will be quite hard to communicate with the team properly. Of course, on the one hand, communicating to them, and then on the other hand, which is maybe even more important, understanding what is being communicated to oneself. So how the players talk to the coach is, of course, very important to understand for him, and in a very like instant and in the same instant that it is being said. And if this takes too much time, then maybe the players don't get comfortable with all of that, of course, and you maybe do the the wrong picks and bans, of course. So, well, and it seemed to have worked quite well for them. They beat C9, and they were also able to beat Golden Guardians. Well, of course, it was Golden Guardians, but it's still they still did a good job from start to finish. But like I said, like I'm saying right now, this move can only be evaluated better after a few more games have passed, of course. And we're maybe closing this this weekend of an NALCS action. Before talking about what happened after the LCS closed their doors for the Rift Rivals break, well, just a quick note that both teams that I'm going to talk about in the next few minutes, 100 Thieves and FlyQuest, went 2-0 this weekend. And especially 100 Thieves did very well versus both Clutch Gaming and Optic in their respective games. And you can really say that they looked like change was needed at that point. And now onto the whole Meteos, FlyQuest and 100 Thieves stuff that happened. It all started by Meteos taking to Twitter and announcing that he was being traded a few hours after the LCS broadcast had ended, and that he didn't know about it before, and he didn't really know what to do now, because the team that he was being traded to, which is FlyQuest, didn't really have a starting position open for him. So, and he didn't really want to fight for a spot in their starting lineup, I suppose. And this may be a funny little caveat for the end of me ranting about this. So first of all, the facts. In the end, the 100 Thieves gave away Meteos, and in turn got Ender from FlyQuest. This was confirmed by both teams, and before it was reported by Jacob Wolf from ESPN. So there was no Keen or no Ryu included. It was just a straight up swap between these two players. And according to Meteos, again, on Twitter, he took to Twitter, like I said, and he said that the deal was finalized on Friday already, so before the whole week three of NALCS took place. And now yesterday, so Monday, 100 Thieves came out with a statement explaining the whole situation from their point of view. And they say that Meteos approached them asking to be able to talk to other teams about being traded. And, well, the wording is key here, and I'll explain maybe in a minute or maybe a minute or two. And 100 Thieves agreed that it would be best for everyone involved. Maybe this is the case because, well, looking at their vlog series, The Heist, there have been quite a few suggestions that there were differences between the coach, Prolly, and Meteos at some points. And even in talking to other teammates, there were a few confrontations, which is nothing bad. Definitely nothing bad. There needs to be some confrontation or to grow, of course. This is also something that Prolly said, actually, in the piece of I'm actually talking about here. Then he said that they need to talk to each other. So this is not an inherently bad point. And obviously this vlog series is highly edited. So everything that happens there has to be taken with a grain of salt, although it did actually happen, but there's maybe a bit of context missing, of course. But let's move on. Meteos also mentioned throughout the whole week that, or there was an interview that came out last week, where he mentioned that he doesn't really want to coach the player that wants to take his spot. In talking about the academy jungler here, Levy, I believe, they talked about this thing then that happened to Sneaky, of course, and stuff like that. And this comment may have ruffled some feathers as well, which I'll talk about in a minute as well. And well, then 100 Thieves then looked at the opportunities and came to the conclusion that a trade with FlyQuest for their Academy League jungler Anda was the best way to move forward for them, and they decided to make a trade. And well, the wording of 100 Thieves' statement and Meteos' reaction to everything suggests that Meteos wanted to look for options for himself, moving onto a competitive team where he wouldn't downgrade standings wise or brand wise or anything like that. But after he found out that 100 Thieves took matters into their own hands without consulting him and trading him to considerably worse team, considerably worse brand, that on top of that doesn't even have a starting spot waiting for him. He was mad about it, he felt betrayed, then he took to Twitter, which kind of isn't surprising, of course, because He didn't really want to go to FlyQuest. I imagine that when he talked to the leaders of 100 Thieves that he wanted to talk about trading or moving to another team, that he wasn't really thinking about FlyQuest, which is obvious. But well, fans and even some people from within the scene were mad about that, about the trade happening without his knowledge. But I think, well, to be quite honest, my opinion, that 100 Thieves were within their right to do this, and they've most likely done nothing wrong here. And maybe I'll talk about one or two things. And like I said, Meteos started this by talking to them about trading, about moving on. Maybe this had also something to do with being left out of Rift Rivals and the team experimenting with their Academy League jungler. And he didn't really feel like competing, which is a whole problem in itself, because the stuff that he said about coaching academy players and players that take away their spots, this shows a mindset that no team would really want to have in their own players. It's some sort of like a scarcity mindset. So because when you are in a team, you think about the best for the team. So there are players that are really egotistical in a team like that, and you need to have some sort of ego to perform your best. So I believe that, but this is maybe about confidence. So you need confidence to perform at your very best. But as a team and as an owner or as a coach or as a team in itself, the players, they don't really want someone who feels threatened by someone else who, in case they are better than them, would take their spot and it would make the whole team better. But like I said, this mindset of not really being in favor of the team improving when it's a problem for yourself. So a good example maybe for this is the reaction that Reckless had to being benched for Bwipo. We posted it on our Instagram that there was a quote that was on, I actually mentioned this last week as well on the podcast, that he said that if playing Bwipo is the best for the team, and that this gives the team the highest chances to win, then he needs to respect that just as well as that he needs to respect that the strategy that him being the hyper carry is the best way to move to winning the game. So this is, and I pointed that out last week as well, and I said that this is a huge show sign of maturity that a player can have, and it's a really important thing to have. And I also said that Faker was most probably or most likely would have some sort of similar mindset to talking when talking about the game. And I said that and I kind of trashed it a few minutes ago when talking about the RCK, but a player like Faker playing Taric in order to funnel into a jungler that is lacking at best and bad at worst. And he's playing Master Yi, so he's funneling into him instead of being funneled into like himself. So he puts his service into the best for the team. And like I said, this is a really important thing that you will want to have in your teammates or in your players as an organization. And when you see that your player doesn't have that, and he isn't really interested in the team improving, like I already mentioned, when it's to his, I don't know, when it's his problem afterwards being benched, or I don't know, not being in the best position to succeed in like, I don't know, KDA stuff or something like that. This is a huge problem for an organization. And I think that 100 Thieves, after they noticed that, or they I don't know if they hadn't noticed that before, and then this interview really manifested it for them, or this I don't know, this media saying that. So this was, if I was the leader of the 100 Thieves and I heard my players say that I definitely would have reacted the same way and saying, okay, I don't really want that player on my team. And I like Meteos as a personality in the scene. I never really have met him, but And I really liked their play style. I really liked how they played the 100 Thieves in the spring split, of course, and now in the summer split. But when you're talking about a long-term vision for the team, you don't really want to have a player who wants to keep his academy jungler down, or his counterpart in the academy team. The academy team is there to grow and to improve, and maybe to keep the starting roster on their toes, as we have seen with Cloud9. And you don't really want a player that actively keeps this down. So you want a player that doesn't feel threatened by that. He wants to improve himself, and he wants to move on to become a better version of himself, instead of keeping the others down so oneself doesn't have to improve. I don't know if what I said makes a lot of sense, but this is really important for 100 Thieves. And I imagine this was their thinking as well, that you need to get rid of a player like that. And if it has been fair or not, I don't know. And actually, Medios has said that he would want to post a video about this. And at the time of this recording, this video hasn't been posted, so I can't really get into that. But well, we'll have to see how this pans out in the future, in the next few days, and we'll see how this back and forth goes on. And well, this, but from the knowledge that we have right now, this is the best conclusion that I can draw. And I'll just leave it at that, and maybe talk about it next week, or I don't know if it's even relevant. Then I'll definitely do that. But maybe now onto the team itself, just quickly, that they came out in their statement, and they said that they will play with Sunday and Anda after Rift Rivals. So it was really a straight drop. They weren't really, or they aren't right now, thinking about playing with Levy and subbing, I don't know, Sunday or Ryu in order to get him into one of those import slots. So it's really interesting, and thinking about that as well, seeing that they really, really just straight swapped Medios for Anda in this case. And to finish off this episode, we'll talk about some CSGO roster changes before ESL 1 Cologne, which starts today, actually, at the time you will be hearing this. First of all, I called that last week's episode, if you listen to that, I called that Mouse Sports would most likely look at signing Scream almost by default. That's what I use, I believe, in case they would want to add more firepower to their lineup because of the high buyouts in the scene right now. And well, I turned out to be extremely wrong about that just a day later, because it was announced on Wednesday that Mouse Sports decided to pick up Snacks from Virtus Pro, who reportedly cost them about $300,000. And well, that in itself is a huge gamble for an organization like Mouse, even more so for the fact that we haven't really seen the Snacks of Virtus Pro play well for some time now. Much of that can, of course, be attributed to the state Virtus Pro finds itself in, but nevertheless, it's a lot of risk to take on for an organization like Mouse Sports that, of course, is sitting on the Nico money, if you want to call it that. But still, it's a lot of money for them to invest in a player like that. But on the other hand, considering Snacks was known as one of, if not the best player in the world for a period of time, sky's the limit for him in a functional team where he's relieved of all of the baggage from his former team, maybe. And maybe this is the much needed change of scenery that he needs to perform to his highest level again. Well, obviously, not everything will be expected to click right away after a few days of practice. But like I said, later today, or I don't know, depends on when you're listening to this. ESL 1 Cologne maybe has already started, and it will be interesting to see how these five players will perform. And now onto the second domino in this chain of dominoes falling, because in the night from Saturday to Sunday, it was announced that Stuko, the guy that was replaced by Snacks on Mouse Sports, is standing in for Cloud9 now. And the ESL rules actually forbid using a stand-in on loan from another team that participates in the same tournament. So Stuko, of course, is still contracted to Mouse Sports, and ESL has a rule against that, against him actually playing for Cloud9, but they sorted it out one way or the other. And well, reports said that Mixwell was actually to stand in for Cloud9, and he would have been a good choice, but he's been vocal about not wanting to live in NA after his time with Optic. And of course, as soon as the opportunity of Stryko moving to Cloud9 presented itself, it makes a lot of sense for Cloud9 to go and try out the guy for this tournament. It's actually kind of sort of like a no-brainer for me, because Stryko is a support player, of course, and Cloud9 should look for one. Maybe they are, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, or maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But they, in my opinion, they should do that in order to alleviate the pressure from the other players that aren't really support players, that are expected to behave like support players. Maybe a player like Automatic, who's maybe more comfortable in a more Stewie role, a role that Stewie had before, and he wasn't really able to shine on in that. And maybe with a player like Stryko, who I would like to compare with Taco, maybe, if I can, on SK Gaming before, maybe he's a guy that can move the others, I don't know, can alleviate some pressure off of them and get them to frag a bit more. But well, of course, another reason for him, for Cloud9 to go for Stryko and to try him out for the tournament, is because Stryko has the potential to be a permanent replacement for FNS, and in that case be the permanent fifth player for them. And Mixwell is neither. He isn't a support player, and he isn't really keen on living in NA, so he isn't really a potential fifth for them. So like I said, it makes a lot of sense for Stryko to or for Cloud9 to go for Stryko. And maybe, I don't know if Stryko is ready to go to NA, but he said that he's open to a lot of different things after he was replaced on Mousebot. So maybe this is match made in heaven, but we'll have to see how the tournament pans out, and how the two parties, or the different parties in that ordeal, will deal with the I don't know, with the new situation. And with that, we arrived at the end of this week's episode. You know the drill by now. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. If you want to voice your opinion about this podcast, I would really appreciate a rating on iTunes or pretty much wherever you are listening to this right now. Any kind of feedback would be highly appreciated. Finally, thank you very much for listening. And I will catch you guys next week. See ya!